It is
Blake's Takes for God's Sakes.
Oh, it's a podcast that comes out every single Wednesday. I'm recording this one on a Monday, so if something effed up happens, this is being recorded on Monday the 13th. That is some scary shit. And this will be a Halloween-themed podcast. It's going to freak you out. It's going to freak you in a little bit, too. And I can say that because I'm half Jewish. I don't know what that means. But, yeah, this is Blake's Takes for God's Sakes. It is Wednesday. That means the podcast is out. We are doing... next week, I believe I would even go so far to say, we got a low T scheduled a week from today. That is right. We've got a low T scheduled for March 22nd? Yes, Wednesday, March 22nd. To be exact. And that is going to be one of the lower tees you'll ever find. So if you want to join the Patreon, it's patreon.com/Blake Wexler. You can join it. You will join it. You will join or die is something I've been saying since the American Revolution. I don't call it the Revolutionary War because I'm worldly, because there's been a throughout history. Her story, our story. Sing us a song. So you are listening to Blake's Takes for God's Sakes. It is Wednesday, and it's a bit of a dreary day outside. I want to start off by saying this. Well, I actually want to start off by finishing that thought. Patreon.com/Blake Wexler. I'll send a little Zoom invitation to all the patrons next week. And low tea, it's a virtual hang. We'll all hang out. I will prepare something. And that will be, it'll be a good old time. It'll probably be around 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. And we'll do it for about an hour. And we're all going to have a great time. Oh, when I go to Queens, I have a good time. But before that, I want to give a little bit of a product recommendation. So my in-laws for Christmas got me this thing. I believe the brand is called Side by Side. And it's a little pouch. But I'm obviously not getting paid for this. I don't even think I need to say that. It's a pouch. I would say an oblong pouch. Have you met my great-great-grandfather, oblong pouch? Have you met him? So this oblong pouch, I don't really think I need to say anything more about the shape of it. It's an oblong pouch. And it's to store your wires, if that makes sense. And if you know me, there's nothing that upsets me more than a tangled wire. And I would say, so I did not get your AirPod headphones for longer than most because I feel like I heard someone say in passing that it can scramble your brain. And I did no research about it. I did not look up if that was true or not. I did not inquire as to the credentials of the person who said that. I just took it to be fact because it stuck in my head. I think that my misunderstanding and my obsession with the idea that it could scramble my brain may actually be... actually, it's definitely more hazardous than what the AirPod waves would actually do to my head. So I... ended up getting the AirPods, and I think the amount of stress that I have saved myself from not having to untangle my headphones all the time has added probably a year and a half to my life. There is nothing more upsetting to me than being ready to listen to music And generally, when I'm listening to music or a podcast in headphones, I'm like on the go. So there's a schedule. I have to be somewhere at a certain time. And then you get delayed because I'm like, oh, this is going to add 45 seconds to a minute and a half of me trying to untangle these bitches. And then sometimes you're just walking down the street untangling. You could be hit by a bus. You could be hit by a surface to air to then back to surface missile. And by that, I mean, a surface-to-air missile is generally launched, obviously, from the ground into the air to take out an airplane. However, in this situation, this was launched into the air and then missed and then kind of just fell back to the earth. Does that ever happen? Well, I guess it would still be propulsing itself, right? And by propulsing, I do mean propelling. If you were to, because you know how when you hear, oh, someone fired a gun into the air, what comes up must come down. So a bullet could like land, you know, fucking a few miles away and come down with a force that could kill you, right? Is that true? Or does that skunk need a good old-fashioned debunk? Welcome back to Debunk the Skunk. I am here with a woodland creature with black fur and white stripes who is perfectly capable of making itself stink to all hell. And I'm going to figure out if this thing's lying or not. All right? And that is why we call this segment Debunk the Skunk. What the fuck was I saying? Oh, so I wonder if it's a similar thing where if a missile gets launched into the air and then it like, because it's being rocket powered, right? That's what happens with missiles. So there's a warhead on a rocket. And then if it misses, it would probably just eventually fall back down to Earth. However, I would imagine that it actually keeps rocketing and loses altitude and would rocket into the Earth. Like, I feel like it would rocket into the earth before it would fall to the earth without the rocket. I really do just need someone here with me. Just to, in situations like this, not even give me the answer, just to put their hand on my knee and tell me it's all going to be okay. What does that job posting look like? Hey, everyone, we're going to need a comforter. A podcast comforter, if that makes sense. No, not a blanket, literally, but though sometimes we will need you to lay on him to make him feel secure. There's a podcaster named Blake Wexler, and the budget is not big, but we need you just to sit in the room with him so when he gets worked up, you can just place your hand on his shoulder or on his knee and tell him it's all going to be okay. That's the position that we're hiring for. Can you do it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Will you dig it? Can you dig it? What are we going to be talking about this week? First, tonight, the night this podcast comes out, I will be doing a show in Lewes, Delaware. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. It's Lewes. And I will be headlining a show at the Crooked Hammock Brewery. And I think that's down the beach in Delaware. It is a long fucking drive for me, but I said I would do it, and I am a man of my bird. So I'm going to be doing that show tonight. From all accounts, it's an incredible show, so check that out. And then on Sunday, the Lord's Day, Lourdes, I will be performing at Union Hall in Brooklyn, we go hard. And I will be doing a stand-up show called Good God. And it's an amazing lineup. It's fuck it. Who's on that show? It's hosted by the great Brittany Carney, a fantastic human being, and an even better stand-up comedian, if I can say so. If I dare say so myself. Shane Torres also. Oh no, it's called Good God. What did I say? Dear God? Oh boy. That show will have Phoebe Robinson on it, which is pretty sick. She's incredible. Also Tom Takar, Naomi Caravani, myself, and a one Nat Townsend. And then also the host of that show, Caitlin Cook, Brittany Carney and Shane Torres. It's going to be a great show. So that is at Union Hall in Brooklyn. And enjoy it. You should enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy it. Oh, I just saw they should have tagged me in this. Oh, well. But anyway, it's a live comedy event. I don't know what else you want. So that is Sunday, March 19th in Brooklyn, baby. Tickets are still available for that. But I think that show sells out. So you should get tickets if you're going to go. No, I'm not going to give you tickets. All right? I'm sick of being asked for a free pass all the damn time. I was going to work out today. I think that's just not going to happen. I'm so tired. I watched the Oscars last night, everybody. It was, if I can just say this to be completely honest, it was Hollywood's biggest night. And I think that a lot of people have been, it's been a topic of conversation. Is this Hollywood's biggest night? And I, after watching those Oscars for 3.5 hours last night, yes, it is Hollywood's biggest night. And it's funny, I do always make this comparison where when I make fun of something that people are a fan of, I generally have to filter it through, Blake, is this less embarrassing than sports? And I would argue, because I'm a sports fan, that's my thing, I would argue that yes and no. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Blake's Takes for God's Sakes. This is the Bible. This is the Constitution. It is the Mayflower Compact. What was that called? The Mayflower Contract? The Mayflower Compact. Is that a real thing? Hey, Siri? What is the Mayflower Compact? The Mayflower Compact, originally titled Agreement Between the Settlers of New Plymouth, was the first governing, let's do it again, the first governing document of Plymouth Colony. So it is a real thing. They do exist. They do exist. Is that an M&M's commercial from the early 90s that I'm quoting? You bet your tush it is. So last night was Hollywood's biggest night, and I was like, oh my God, it's 3.5 hours long. What kind of sick fuck watches a program for 3.5 hours? And then I realized all NFL games are like 3.5 hours and baseball games. So I'm like, okay, I don't have a leg to stand on there as a sports fan versus this movie thing. Here's another point to movies, that in a sports game, there's one winner, right? Where in this situation, there's what, like 15 winners, which is very nice. However, if you want to think negatively, there are so many losers during the Oscars. And I'm not just talking about the paparazzi. But here's another thing with the Oscars. And this is a minus in the Oscar column, is that the people who decide the winners and losers are not the public, it's the Academy, of the Film Academy, which is made up of the most specifically unrelated. I think that is a big minus in the movie column. And then on the other hand, you have sports, where with sports it's decided by the players on the field. So that's what I think gives them who are much more, even though they're physical freaks. Hey, you want to come in here? Get in here. You want to see something behind this curtain? Don't cry. Don't stop crying. Why are you crying? You're not in danger yet. Why don't you peel back that curtain? What do you see there? Oh, you see 11 physical freaks all ready to get down. So I did watch the Oscars. I'd never really watched the Oscars. It's funny. In Los Angeles, as many of you know, I lived there for 10 years. And the Oscars in LA is, I would say, definitely bigger than the Super Bowl. It's what the Super Bowl is in the rest of the country. And I remember when the LA Rams were in the Super Bowl, there was really no discernible difference around Los Angeles that day. But when the Academy Awards are on, the whole city shuts down. you can't go into Hollywood because it's just so packed. You also, by the way, I guess some people didn't notice this either. They do the Oscars in the on Hollywood Boulevard. It's essentially the Times Square of Los Angeles, and it's not a good area. Like it's fine, but it's a weird fucking area. So that's where they do the Oscars, unless they do it downtown. I think they do it. I actually don't know where they do it. I was just talking about how much that area sucks. I don't even know if that's the right area. But wherever they do it, it's not good. So it is bigger than the Super Bowl there. And I don't get, people have Oscars parties, they dress up. I think it does kind of make sense because generally, if you're working in the entertainment business, you do have friends or you yourself worked on some of these movies. Now, it's not, I think, as prevalent as the Emmys, where, because so much of like TV is shot in LA, where a lot of movies are shot across the country on location. So it's, I mean, sometimes you would get like, generally you would get local crew, I think, in addition to, but anyway, that is another plus for the Oscars, I guess, as a fan situation in Los Angeles, because not only are you a fan of the movie, you could have a vested interest in the fact that you worked on that movie yourself, or you have a friend who did it. Where in sports, it's you generally cheer for the team because you generally don't know the players. Does that make sense? So there's another interesting dichotomy, but it was, I think, no matter where you fall on the sports versus Oscar debate, no one can question the fact that it is Hollywood's biggest night. It's Hollywood's biggest night. And that's all I really wanted to say on the subject. So I was into it because, and this is kind of the same sports fandom approach, but I went to Emerson College in Boston, and Emerson did not have sports. So I've touched on this before, but the cool people at Emerson, which was like, or had the reputation that would like generally be reserved to athletes elsewhere, were like the sketch comedians and the stand-up comedians who went there and the filmmakers and that sort of thing. It was like a mini Hollywood in that way, which is not as terrible as it sounds. It was a great place to go to school. So I was pulling for the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once because it's directed by two guys who went to Emerson. And also, I did just straight up really, really enjoy the movie. I don't gamble in general. I don't think I've ever, other than like the NCAA tournament, I've never really placed a sports bet. But I did enter like an office, or not an office, an Oscars pool last night with like a bunch, like I guess it was like 15 of us or 20 of us from my friend group. Did this pool where you would put like $10 in, the winner got 80% of the money, and you would basically bet on who you think would win each category. I think I came in fifth out of like 20 people. And not to brag, sorry, a cow just started milking itself all over my legs. Ew. So just ew. No real riff to follow up on there. Just a simple ew will do, and then we'll move on. Poo poo. So, What the fuck was I saying? You're so high above me. You're so lovely. So I was cheering for Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's great that the lady won. That guy, the support guy who won Best Supporting Actor, is so sweet and endearing. I don't know what to do about it. I have to do something, okay? This is on me. He's so sweet and endearing. It just looked like a really endearing cast. And I was pulling for them. My biggest disappointment of the Oscars is that Will Smith didn't slap a comedian. Is that So my wife and I don't generally go to this. Here's my thing with movies in general. I'm a much bigger fan of TV. Not that you have to choose one or the other, but I generally opt to watch a television show because it's generally there's more of them, especially now that like episodes are like 50 minutes long. So in a TV series, you basically get like 10, well, if it's 12 episodes long, it's basically six movies. Does that make sense? So it's a really, you get more bang for your buck. Also, the fact that you're watching TV, you can pause it and go pee-pee. Whereas when you go to the movie theater, if you go pee-pee, you'll miss part of the movie. And then if you miss part of the movie, it's like, well, what the fuck did I pay for? And then you have to ask whoever you're there with, like, hey, what the fuck did I miss? And then you're getting shushed because you got to be quiet in there. You know what I mean? So it's just one big fucking nightmare. I think 99% of my life revolves around scenarios, either real or manufactured in my head, of when will I have to piss, and then how will that impact those around me? And not even in that order necessarily. Sometimes it's just, how will my piss impact those around me? And when will I have to do it? Because like when I buy tickets to sports games, I like to sit in the aisle so I don't have to like step over people when I urinate. This is crazy, actually. I should talk about this in therapy. This is nuts. I also, on airplanes, prefer sitting in the aisle because I don't like asking people to get up. So I have to, if I have to like pee, you know, and not that I will definitely have to pee on an airplane. It's just, the idea of inconveniencing others is just so annoying. And by the way, it's not really that big of an inconvenience. It's like, okay, so you have to stand up. That's it. Standing up is good for you. I'm saving people from getting blood clots. It's really what my obsessive urination is doing. I'm saving lives. And here I am apologizing? What the hell? What the rickety rick? So, I don't know how the fuck I got on that topic. Urinating. Movies. How did I get on that topic from... Oh, TV versus movies. So, generally I do like TV for that reason. However, with a movie, you do get to just spend... I feel like a movie can be more intimate where I am less likely to look at my phone during a movie. I feel... because you can't pause it and come back to it, it is a very... It's a more intense watching, you know? And then there is the fact that you only have You only have time with these characters for, like, between an hour and 3 hours. Or sorry, hour and a half to like 3 hours, two hours, 45 minutes, whatever it is. And there is not a pressure, but it's like, oh, I only have this much time with these people. I want to be here with them and not be distracted. So I think that is something separate with movies that makes it, that can like just make it not necessarily better, but, can enhance the experience. But I say all this where my wife and I went to the movies on Friday, and generally I want to go more often. It's interesting. Even before COVID, I just never liked going to the movies because I like to get up and talk and like move around. I'm really fun to be around. I'm really fun. I like to just get up and talk and move around while people are trying to watch the thing. No, I'm not tone deaf. Like I wouldn't do that if like while the movie was going. However, I liked having that option. So we went to this movie theater called The Ritz in Philadelphia. It's this cute little movie theater. And they were doing this really cool thing where they would screen all the Oscars shorts back to back to back to back. So you could either go see the animated ones or the live action ones. And we chose the animated ones. So it was four or five, and they screened them back to back. So it was like a total of an hour and a half running time. So essentially the same as a movie, if you were to go see a movie, and you were able to see all of them. And it was really cool. It was just such a cool idea because it kind of gave me the the thing that I like about Boom Boom Boom, you know, about television, but it was in a movie format situation. And I haven't watched the live action ones. The one that won last night was like The Boy, The Horse, The Fox, and The Mole or something. And that one was very cute. The Mole was adorable. I believe The Fox was played by Idris Elba, which is weird. And it's cute, okay? And I realize that these animated movies are, most of them, were primarily either for children or had some sort of lesson. That one, I wasn't that big of a fan of that one because it kind of tried to teach kids in 25 minutes every single lesson a child could possibly learn. And it didn't even really make sense the way they were doing it. It's like, hey, you should never give up. Oh, people in your life are going to die. Oh, you can stand up for yourself. This is what your home is going to be. Like, it was just like one thing after the other. And it's like, yo, can we pump the brakes so I can try to take these lessons in at 34 years old? And there's another one. So that one I rank third out of the five. Then the next one, so the number one movie that I highly recommend this, and I think you can watch this on Hulu or on the internet, which are generally your two options, right? Hulu and the internet is The Ice Merchant. The Ice Merchant was a really cute, creative, cool animated short. So I highly recommend that. That was by far my favorite, The Ice Merchant. The number two was for adults. It was called My Year in Dicks, or Of Dicks. I believe it was Of Dicks. And it was about a story from this girl about losing her virginity. And it was really good. One funny thing was, so at the theater, they screened that one last because there was all the previous four were all for children, and then that last one, it was obviously a lot dirtier. So they put up this warning of, hey, this final one has adult content in it. So if you have children with you or non-mature viewers, we will now pause so you can take them out of the theater. And there was this family in front of us where it was like a mom, a dad, and then I guess two kids who were maybe like 10 or like between 10 and 13 and or like maybe, yeah, I would say 9 to 13. And it starts. They didn't leave. And then the thing starts and it just goes, this is the year that I lost my virginity, my year of dicks. And this family got up and left so quickly. It was hysterical. There was a funny joke. There is this kid, speaking of Emerson College, a comedian that I went to Emerson with named Daniel Rubinton. And he had this great joke where it was about the Girls Gone Wild ads, where it just said, if you have any minors in the room, please tell them to leave right now. And then it would be like, dun, 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 flash, flash, boobs, 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 boobs. You want to see these girls go insane or whatever, whatever the ad was for. And his joke was that there was no time meaningfully elapsed between the warning to get the kids out of the room and the boob videos, you know? So the parents were just like, all right, like, they would hear, hey, please remove all children from the room right now. And the parents would just be like, no. And just slow motion grab their kid and throw them through the door was his joke. It was very, very funny joke. So anyway, if you get a chance, because I feel like the Oscar shorts often get lost in the shuffle because they're not like easy to watch or find, I guess, at least for me. So I highly recommend watching The Ice Merchant and Year of Dicks. I thought it was good too. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. I'll be right back with more Blake's Takes for God's Sakes. You're listening to Blake's Takes for God's Sakes. It's a podcast on 85.5 The Hive.
Blake is really funny. Blake is really cool. Blah, 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 blah.
Blake.
We are back. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of a different twist on the second segment this week. I So when I do this podcast, the topics that I choose to talk about are always something that's going on in my life, and then I try to observe it and then bring it into a larger context if it's something that I think would be interesting to others. And then sometimes when I don't, if I'm having like a boring week or 2 weeks in this case, I haven't done anything really of like import since I taped my special. I will go on the news. Do we know about the news? The failing New York Times, the failing ABC News. And I will try to find a story and then riff on that. So there's really nothing going on right now other than Silicon Valley Bank, which is a situation that I have no understanding or comprehension of whatsoever. Apparently, it's not good. What's going on over there? Is it a contagion that's sweeping across banks? I know President Biden had to talk about it this morning, but I went on this liberal rag called the Huffington Post, and they had an article on there about, let me pull this up, the rudest things you can do at a baby shower. And it's etiquette experts share faux pas to avoid at these celebrations. Now, this triggered me because A, I don't like being told what to do, even though I'm not going to a baby shower. I don't think I've ever been to one. And if I play my cards right, if I continue to be a good human being, fingers crossed, I will never have to go to one of those fucking things. And here's the thing. Just like most things, there's nuance here, right? But I think in general, being a grown-up and throwing yourself a party is one of the most maniacally selfish things anyone can ever, like, one of the, not here, let's take selfish out, though that's there, narcissistic. It is one of the most narcissistic things a human being can do. So and a baby shower is, so here's a baby shower, and this actually is, I think this part is defensible. To throw a baby shower, there is a practicality there, in that you're getting things for the baby. Does that make sense? Like, the gifts do matter. Like, there is a reason. Does that make sense? However, to have a child is not my fucking problem. It's not your friend's problem. It's really nobody's problem but your partner that you decided to have kids with, to be completely honest. And one of my biggest pet peeves in the world right now is when someone decides to have a baby and they think that this is a thing that should matter to anyone but themselves. So here's the thing. It doesn't mean it doesn't matter, right? I do know that in friend circles, a big thing that friends like to do for one another is when someone's having a baby, to make a big deal out of it. Because in that person's life, it is a really big deal. I 100% understand that. Your life completely changes when you have a child. Sometimes it changes, maybe more than it has to. And you become a shell of yourself. But it is, I think people should, it shouldn't be expected. This is what it is. It should not be expected that others should give a fuck about your child. Does that make sense? If others want to give a fuck about the fact that you have a kid, that's sweet. And that's special. And that's something that you can bond over. However, I think for some reason, I think the inference that, oh, I'm going to throw a baby shower and I'm going to cause you to have to spend money on me because I fucked or got fucked or bought a kid. Or then you also have to take time out of your day or weekend to come and sit and watch this person open up baby gifts. Are you out of your mind? Now, I know that Twitch and there's a whole, and YouTube, and there's, I know what Twitch and YouTube are. And I know that there's a whole industry around watching people play video games. But, and there also are like unboxing videos of like, okay, what are, this new sneaker just dropped. Let me watch this person unbox it. But it is truly the most mind-numbingly boring thing I can possibly imagine. Now, if you're having a baby shower and you're like, listen, I'm going to throw a party. I guess you could call it a baby shower, okay? I'm going to have great food. I'm going to have drinks. You can bring a gift. You cannot bring a gift. There's no pressure for you to attend whatsoever. I would love to see you, but if not, it's all good. This is not your problem. Is how I would invite someone to something like that. It's how I did it with my Brewlerette party. Hey, listen, I'm going to go on a brewery tour of almost every brewery in Philadelphia. I would love for you to come. If you have to travel to this, do not do that. If you have anything else going on, do not come. I'm going to do it, and you're welcome to come if you'd like. You don't have to buy me shit, blah, blah, blah. That's how I think these things should work. So then also, that's just my take, my Blake's take in general. Now, I also got drawn to this headline. The rudest things you can do at a baby shower. A assumes that, oh, like, so not only are you forcing me to come to this, or you're expecting me to come to this bullshit, I now have to behave in a certain way. Which makes me mad, of course, because I don't like being told what to do. However, it is also, like, probably common sense what these things are, you know? Like, I would imagine one of them is like, oh, when you're at the baby shower, don't call the woman a pig. Skip that part. Don't do that. It's like, yeah, I wouldn't call her a pig anyway. You know what I mean? So, anyway, I'm going to go through these right now on the podcast here, and I also obviously, like, you know, like, you just coming up with the things, like, the rudest things you can do at a baby shower is just very funny. Like, when going to a baby shower, don't leave the door open so the dog gets out. Don't talk about why Ron DeSantis would make a great president. You know, it's just, like, very clear things. All right, so let's go. Let's see what the first one is. Number one. Hold on, this is the opening paragraph. Baby showers are a fun way to celebrate expectant parents. Nobody needs to be celebrated. And help them prepare for the new addition to their family. All right. Even though, although these events often involve lots of laughs and excitement, I would say I would change often to rarely / almost never. Okay, don't embarrass the honoree. Oh, that's like literally what I just said. Do not touch and squeeze the abdomen and tell the mom she's as big as a house. All right, don't call her a pig. Serving food the guest of honor prefers not to eat. What guest of honor? Ask the mom her preference on food items and non-negotiable foods. Hey, how about, other than allergies, obviously that's different. How about if you're making people come to a baby shower for yourself, you let the people at least eat what the fuck they want to eat. That's insane. Getting drunk. Yeah, no, I would say actually it should be required. It would be rude not to get drunk. If I had a baby shower and people were sober at it, I would be like, what kind of world have I created that this is what's happening right now? Sharing childbirth, we'll do it again. Sharing childbirth nightmare stories. That makes sense. Because you don't want to make someone scared before they're having a baby that could put, you know, add stress to the parent and the baby. See, I'm not a total piece of shit, you guys. Like, I am a human being, all right? So that makes sense, all right? Don't scare the parent. That totally makes sense. Commenting on other guests' fertility. I think that's a really good one, too. That's private. That's a private thing. When are you going to have a baby is like a horrific question. Because maybe they had a miscarriage. Maybe they are having trouble getting pregnant. An incredibly stressful thing that you shouldn't bring up. Yeah, there's two things. Pressuring the couple to reveal the sex. Yeah, that's obvious. Going off registry. Stick to the registry. The new mom has requested specifics that she will need to prepare for the baby. Hey, how about you take whatever gift I give you and you fucking smile about it, all right? Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want me to get a specific type of blocks for your child? Well, guess what I got instead? I got you a turkey baster for Thanksgiving this year. And you're gonna be thrilled that I did. Bringing uninvited guests. That's so funny. No surprise. That's so funny. Hey, Blake, where's Julia? I just thought I would bring the bartender from Helium Comedy Club, actually, instead. He's a great time. I mean, the guy is basically a nocturnal animal. This is the first time he's been out during the day, I think, since I've known him. But he's a great hang. Showing up late and overstaying your welcome. I think that's like showing up late is that's a good one, because they are hosting you in your home, in their home, and they do have a schedule. Anytime you, there's nothing I get angrier about than what's it called? Disrespecting someone's schedule. Throwing a shower without consulting the expecting parent. That's hilarious. Yeah, of course. Failing to honor social media requests. Oh, that's interesting. Wait up to 24 hours after the shower? What does that mean? Please do not post any unflattering pictures. Hey, you look how you look. That would be funny. I would even... While I think, hey, like, if you're allowed to bring phones in, you should be able to do whatever the fuck you want, you know? But I do like it when I will go to a party, and the few times that I've done this, and they make you put your phone in a bowl when you walk in. Like where you would put your keys, I guess, if you were going to, like, a cool parent's house in high school, and you were drinking in the basement, and they didn't want you to drive. But with phones, I think that's cool because it makes you talk to each other, you know? I do like when people do that. And that was it. That was the rudest things that you can do at an inherently selfish event. All right, everybody. This is, I know what I just said might be controversial. I know some people might be like, oh, Blake, you might be a biased person because you don't have kids yet. Yeah, I'm sure I am. And I'm sure when I have kids, you're all invited to my baby shower. And you better not post about it on frickin' Twitter or whatever that's going to be. That company doesn't seem like it's going to be around too much longer. All right. If you're in Delaware, come see me tonight at Lewis Delaware or Lewis, whatever the fuck it's called, at the Cranky Hammock or something. And then on Sunday, come see me in New York at Union Hall for Good God. Stand-up comedy show. It's an amazing lineup. I will talk to you all next week. I will be doing a low T with you all next week. All right. This has been Blake Wexler for Blake's Sakes, for God's Sakes. It is a podcast that comes out every single Wednesday on the Trabadabadabadabadabadoo network. And I'll see you next week. Patrons, talk to you on Friday. Blake Wexler! Blake Wexler! Blake Wexler! Blake Wexler! Blake Wexler.